Well, you know that I normally don't wear the robe unless it's a communion Sunday. We're not having communion this morning, but also it's been a busy 12-hour stretch, and I didn't want to iron all my clothes and everything, and so I wore the robe so I could wear a short sleeve shirt underneath, and then also this is meaningful to me. So you know, this is a season of gift giving. This stole was gifted to me by Emily a few months back. It belonged to Pastor Dale. And so it's my honor to wear this stole in his legacy. And it just so happened to have Christmas colors with a dash of purple on it. So I thought it was befitting the morning. And so I'm just thankful to be able to represent Jesus and represent his faithful servants that went before me at this church. So if anything that you hear this morning, just remember this phrase. This is basically the meat and potatoes. We are the people of the now and not yet. Or you might have heard it put this way. We are living in the already, but not yet. One theology professor explains it for us in admittedly a professory way. For now, Christians live in a great theological tension. We already possess every spiritual blessing in Christ, but we do not experience the fullness of these blessings yet. In one sense, we are already adopted, redeemed, sanctified, and saved. In another, these experiences are not yet fully ours. Underneath this theological and practical tension are the two comings of Christ. In his first coming, he inaugurated the last days. In his second coming, he will complete them. In the meantime, we live for now in what he calls the overlap of the ages. After Jesus was born, we read about two devout individuals who reveled, who got the opportunity to meet Jesus and partake in witnessing firsthand the reality of the coming of the Messiah. One was an old man named Simeon, and another was an old woman named Anna. Old people are very important, just so you know, okay? This morning we will focus specifically on Simeon's encounter with the newborn Messiah. So you can open up a Bible to Luke chapter 2 so we can read that narrative together. I'll pray as we open up God's word. Oh, Lord, as we gather in this place, we pray that you would tune our ears to hear you ever so clearly. Pray that you would turn our hearts to you so that we would experience the fullness of all that you have for us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. Be glorified and magnified in this place, Jesus. Amen. Luke 2, beginning verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. See, Jews of the first century AD followed a number of customs when a baby was born. According to Leviticus 12, the mother of a male baby had to go through a time of purification that lasted 40 days. At the end of that period, she had to bring a burnt offering and a sin offering. Ordinarily, the burnt offering had to be a lamb, while the sin offering was a pigeon or a turtle dove. Those who were poor and could not afford a lamb were permitted to offer one of these birds for the burnt offering and one for the sin offering. In the case of a firstborn child, the baby was consecrated to the Lord, an act that involved visiting the sanctuary. The events recorded in today's passage occurred when Mary and Joseph went to the temple in Jerusalem to follow the aforementioned legal requirements after the birth of Jesus. That Mary and Joseph were obeying these commandments says a lot about their piety. And then the offering of the two turtle doves indicates their poverty. In any case, on this occasion, Mary and Joseph ran into Simeon, a righteous man who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This is just a beautiful picture of these faithful older people witnessing the birth of the Messiah and recognizing him, revealed to them by the Holy Spirit, by God. This was all grace. And what Simeon says is he can now die in peace, knowing that he has witnessed what he calls the consolation of Israel. But Simeon's understanding of the Christ child was not fully complete. He rightly proclaimed that Jesus was the agent of salvation, but in his hoping for the consolation of Israel, Simeon was really emphasizing God's intervention to deliver Israel from its enemies. Joel Green explains that the consolation of Israel, of which the prophet Isaiah spoke and of which Simeon was referring to, was associated with God's personal intervention in world affairs. Now, this, of course, was true. But Jesus had a mission that went beyond just the consolation of Israel. It went beyond just the redemption of Jerusalem, as Anna put it. It was for all peoples. And so here we are this morning worshiping in the glorious truth that God has rescued us. In Jesus, we have God's consolation, his comfort. We have been forgiven. We are now part of his forever kingdom, and Jesus is on the throne. Yet, we're actually a great deal like Simeon. We are still waiting for the completion of the consolation. We still cry out to God in prayer and say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is because Jesus is coming back to consummate the kingdom of God. So Christ began the kingdom of God in his incarnation, in his death, and in his resurrection. And so it is present among his people today. But the kingdom, however, is not yet here in all of its fullness. Remember, we are the people of the now and the not yet. There will be a day when the Lord's righteous rule is recognized by all creation, and all his enemies will be under his foot. On that day, those whom Jesus has purchased with his blood will be presented to him as a spotless bride, completely free from the presence of sin that continues to afflict his redeemed. The beauty of being on this side of the incarnation is that we are also, like Simeon, considering our eyes have seen the Lord's salvation, and each of us can now actually die in peace. In other words, we have personally received the consolation. We have found our comfort. We can worship now while waiting for the not yet. Now, you didn't think I was going to get through a whole Christmas sermon without a Christmas illustration. So I'll give one. I'll oblige. Silas and Judah are extra holy. I'm just using them as an example. Those are my 4 and 6 year old boys. I think we are a lot like Silas and Judah as they diligently waited for this morning. For over 2 weeks now, which was probably a bad idea, I had already placed all of their presents under our dried out Christmas tree. So every day in the living room, they would see those wrapped presents right in front of their faces. In fact, their Lego station was 6 inches from the tree. So they were living in the reality that those presents were going to be theirs on Christmas morning. During the season of waiting, they were restless at times, right? They were restless. But overall, they knew something good was guaranteed to them. For they know how loved they are. They know that they can be trusted by Lolly and I. So they were free to have hopeful anticipation for this morning. In the end, this morning at 7:30, which is pretty good, actually, they received gifts that they did not earn. Unless you can count cuteness and something as currency. They received these unearned gifts with thankfulness and gratitude and excitement, these gifts that were given to them and promised to them. See, people of God, we know what awaits us too. But the reality is we already have everything that we need. Yet, we are expectant for what is to come because we have a promise of a future that is so beautiful and joyous that we cannot even comprehend or conceive of it. A Christmas morning that would put all others to shame when we come into glory and face to face with our Savior. I want to end by sharing a verse from the song In Christ Alone. I think this verse does a wonderful job of professing our reality as the people of the now and not yet. This is what it says. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Merry Christmas. Praise God that Jesus came for us. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we so look forward to what awaits us. With eager anticipation, we long for it. But God, it's not here yet. We live now. And so, Lord, we pray that we would experience your nearness in the now. We pray that we would experience your kingdom coming in our families, in our church, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, in our community, in our world. God, we want to see the inbreaking of your kingdom. We want to see the light overcome the darkness. We want to see you made famous. We're so thankful, Jesus, that you give us what we do not deserve, eternal life with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand if you're able.